Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Monday morning. If you're a football fan, I bet you watched some football yesterday. If you're a New England football fan, as I am, you're doing a little happy dance this morning. Though, you know what? The Falcons are going to be a great competitor. Watch their game yesterday. I'm not really very hopeful that we're going to be victorious, but I'm going to enjoy the game anyway. The thing is about football and sports, even though I love them dearly, they really have no bearing on my life. They don't put money in my pocket. They don't change the world is not changed by their outcome. They're just supposed to be fun. And it's extra fun when your team is in the big game. Though sometimes I think it's actually extra stressful. I'd rather just watch two other teams that I really don't care about. And I can just eat, drink, and be merry. Hey, which, by the way, comes from the scriptures. I know. All those little things that you hear, and then you're like, what? That's scripture? Someday I'm going to write a book or a blog post on all those things that we say in everyday, ordinary life that are actually scriptural, like God will never give you more than you can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 basically says you'll never be tried beyond your strength. So that's all these really little nuggets, which brings me to today's nugget. We're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians 1 through 3. Why? Because I have to teach it tonight. Bottom line, my Bible study this evening over at Holy Family Parish in East Taunton. If you are nearby, you're always welcome. We're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians 1 through 3. And as I was preparing for it last night, I thought, hey, this is a great topic for A Seeking Heart. I really love our new format, loosey-goosey kind of format. Well, we can just talk about prayer, sacrament, and scripture, or whatever comes up, and this is great. This week, we're going to be talking a lot about scripture. I kind of think I'm going to just make it a scripture-focused week. Thursday, my guest will be Stephanie Engelman. She's been here before for her young adult fiction book, A Single Bead, and we're going to be talking about three of her favorite scriptures, which I laughed when I asked her, which ones would you like to talk about, Stephanie? They're three of my favorites, too. So we'll be looking at Philippians 4, 6 through 7, having no anxiety in anything. We're looking at Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make straight your path. And of course, as I'm talking, and I'm trying to think of the third one, just completely went out of my head, but I guess that'll be a surprise for Thursday. Stephanie, I actually asked her to do a Facebook Live to talk about the show and to get everybody excited about the scriptures we're going to be sharing. So I really hope that she does that. And if she does, I'll be sure to share it over at the Seeking Heart Facebook page, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Plus, you can always follow Reconciled to You on Facebook. I do a little bit more on that site. I try to share everything over to A Seeking Heart, but sometimes it's not easy to kind of balance yourself between a million different websites. So if you really don't want to miss anything, go to Reconcile to You and like me on Facebook. We have a lot of stuff over there, including, this is very exciting news, including the 2017 retreat schedule for Reconciled to You, for me, actually. I took a break last year, didn't really do much, but this year really was inspired. A friend reached out and said, hey, you know, she makes gorgeous rosaries and chaplets and some rosary bracelets. And she said, you know, if you're doing any retreats, I'd love to come and show my stuff, show my jewelry. I was like, or my rosary. I can really call that jewelry. So some of them are jewelry. And I thought, I don't even have a thing booked. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing for 2017. So the more I prayed about it, the more I felt like, yeah, this is the year. This is the time. We need to get out there and meet and share and get people excited about God again, you know, about scripture and the two that I'm offering this year. I have lots of retreats that I offer, but I'm going to just whittle it down this year to make my life easy. And because I feel like the spirit is calling for this, I'm going to be doing a Seeking the Peace of Forgiveness retreat, and also a new one I developed called Foundations of Faith. And of course, if you listen to me at all, you know that I'm going to say next. It's the foundation of faith is prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And that retreat will be based on talking about those three things and how they really work in our everyday, ordinary life to build up our faith in God, our trust, our hope. You know, how do we live spiritual lives closer to Him, you know, while we're still trying to juggle work, family, leisure. Like, there's so much going on every day. And how do we follow Christ and still, you know, live in this world? So that's the new one, Foundations of Faith, Prayer, Sacrament, and Scripture. They're both half day, either morning, afternoon, or you can even do an evening presentation. And this year, brandy new to me, and after much request from people, which I'm really honored about, most of them are going to be co-ed. Usually I just do women's retreats, and a few of those are just women's retreats, but quite a few more, actually probably more than half, are going to be co-ed or open to everyone, which is very exciting. And the other thing that the Lord put on my heart this year is that they're free. They're free to come to. I would rather talk to, and if I charge, I feel like I get 10 to 15 people. Sometimes I get more. I've had up to 60. But when I don't charge, I feel like that opens up God's message, which is free to me, to more people to come and to, you know, be fed by God's word. So they're free. While we're there, I'll ask for a free will offering. I don't know. It's all anonymous. I don't know whether you give or you don't give. And I really don't care, because I'm just excited to be with you and to share God's great message of love and hope and peace and joy and mercy and all those awesome things that He has to give us. And so that schedule is over on Reconcile to You Facebook page, Reconciled with a D to You on Facebook. And you just see there's a note there that says 2017 schedule. There's no links for information for you to register yet. I do like registering so that I know how much breakfast to bring, because there's breakfast included. But I haven't gotten to that yet. I was just so excited to get the dates out. I couldn't believe it. Over 8 of them already booked. If you are interested in having me come to your parish, it's no cost to your parish for me to come out, unless you're out of state, and then I will ask for travel expenses. Give me a call, 508-243-1133. That's the business number, 508-243-1133, or send me a message at reconciledtoyou@gmail.com, and we can talk. You know, talk about coming, what kind of retreat you might want. You might want to talk to your pastor, obviously, first and foremost. And, you know, let's make this happen. Let's get to meet this year, and let's spread God's message as far and wide as we can. Let's make His sphere our sphere and spread the message. So today, like I said, we're going to be talking about 2 Corinthians, because that's my Bible study topic tonight over Holy Family in East Taunton. So excited to be leading that group over there. My pastor is awesome to allow me in to do that. We have a great small group. Sometimes we have anywhere up to about 15 to 20 people. Usually there's about 10 of us. And, you know, I'd love to see more people learning God's word. But, you know, considering last year when we tried it for the first year, we'd have 2 or 3. I'm pretty excited that we have a regular showing of 10 to 15, sometimes even as high as 20. Tonight's weather is not going to be all that wonderful. So just pray, please, that, you know, we have a break in the rain enough that people feel encouraged to come out and learn about 2 Corinthians. And in this letter from Paul to the Corinthians, the audience is the faithful in Corinth, where, again, the target audience for St. Paul, as the apostle addresses issues both new and old, including some personal attacks on his own and credibility that arose during his second visit. I always read from and use the Didache Bible out from Ignatius Press. It is my favorite Bible. If you go to reconciledtoyou.com and use a little snazzy little search box, you can put the word Bible in there, and you'll get my review, 10 Reasons I Switched My Bible to the Didache Bible, because the commentaries in here are based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I just feel like it's a complete place for me personally to go to learn about the Scriptures. The Scriptures are there's a teaching from the church, and we should know that. We should know background. We should know context. We should know, you know, when it was written and to whom it was meant for. But the other thing that I was never taught growing up about the scriptures is that it's also a personal letter to us from God. And we can use this to grow closer to him. It's the dynamic, living word of God. It doesn't ever stay the same, if you ask me. Every time I read it, the Lord inspires my heart in some new way. I pick up a new little nugget, or I learn something new. And that's what I love about learning together and sharing scriptures with a small group, and any kind of small group sharing, is because in it, the Spirit has inspired you in one way, and it's probably inspired somebody else in a different way. And to get those different ideas of how the Lord is moving through his word, it's incredible. It's just something I can't even explain. The scriptures revolutionized, converted my heart, just completely transformed my life and especially my spiritual life. And I'm excited to bring them to you. When we come back from these messages, we're going to start into 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at affliction. Affliction sucks. How's that? Like, there's just no way around it. Suffering stinks, but God promises to make good for all who love him. Romans 8:28. And in the beginning of this letter, St. Paul shows us the purpose of suffering, the power that we can use our suffering for, you know, to help others, for intercession, for the souls in purgatory. Like, there's no wasted suffering. As Bishop Fulton Sheen said, and I had the quote, of course, Allison the Squirrel Girl lost it, but basically he said, you know, suffering is only useless if we don't use it to intercede for others. You know, like, it's called redemptive suffering. We're going to talk a little bit about that, kind of a fancy word, just to help us to see that even though suffering sucks, God uses it for good. We have much more after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. How are you listening to Breadbox Media? Are you listening to the live stream? Are you listening now from breadboxmedia.podbean.com on the archive? Do you have the Breadbox app? If you don't, go to breadboxmedia.com right now, or to the, what are those things called? Yeah, the app stores. You know, those things, the app stores, iOS or Android, it's available on both. And get the app now. Then help us tell others about the app by sharing on social media, hashtag GetBreadBox, and help us spread the word. Let's get Breadbox onto the Breadbox app onto every phone. If you've been blessed by the shows here on Breadbox, tell your friends. Go to breadboxmedia.com, download the app, and share today. Get Breadbox. Yes, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. The app is pretty cool. You can get, you know, you can take us everywhere you go, and you can get what do you call those things? Yes, it's Monday. Braid is on Monday. You can get the archives of all of our shows, or you can listen live. Listening live is fun. And if you ever want to, you know, share something here live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text that number or call in, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can always leave me a message at seekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. Always happy to hear from you. Book recommendations, prayer requests, scripture you want to chat about. They said Stephanie Engelman will be here on Thursday, and we will be talking about a couple of scriptures, the do not worry ones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and worry about nothing, but in everything pray. And I know there's a third one there too, but I'll look it up next commercial break. I'm looking forward to speaking with Stephanie Engelman, author from Pauline Books and Media, A Single Bead, here on Thursday, 10 a.m. live on Seeking Heart. And again, breadboxmedia.com to make sure you have that app so you don't miss a single moment. So let's start. 2 Corinthians 1:1. So this is how I like to do my Bible studies, is I have them read ahead of time. I do usually, we're only there for an hour and a half, and I do usually three chapters of the book that we're on, whichever one we're doing. So in being book, meaning the actual Bible book. If we're doing a book, like for a Lent, we're going to be doing Walk in Her Sandals, Kelly Walquist, Women in the New Evangelization, Ave Maria Press. Incredible book. If you haven't gone yet to reconciledtoyou.com and click on the CWB and Blog Hop to read the reviews and reflections, do that today. Really, it's time to start thinking about Lent, believe it or not. But when I'm doing the Bible, we do about three chapters, and I have them read ahead of time. Then, when we get to that evening, I love that people come with all different versions of the Bible. I mean, some people say, oh, you should all have one. No, you don't. You don't really. Like, they should all be Catholic, but you don't need all of the same version. I love when people come and have different versions, because what I like to do is I have somebody read a portion of it, and then we just kind of throw out words and or phrases that kind of struck us. Then we read it again, and I usually look for somebody with a different version of it, and then we go into our discussion and we talk about, we just go right through it, you know, like start at the front and just read and say, okay, well, this kind of struck me. And what does this mean? We read the commentary at the bottom. And then we talk about how it's kind of affecting our own life and how it's striking us and our moment in our life. And then I try to do, because that's our large group, and then I try to go into small group when I can. Sometimes if there's 10 or less of us, we just stay in a big group. But I think there's lots of merit to going down to even if there's four or five of you per group, because some people don't like to share in the big group and they really do deserve a chance to talk their heart and to ask questions. And so I try to go into small group. It's hard sometimes, the area that we're put in our church, there's not always a place to break into those groups. But when I can, that is my preferred method. So this 2 Corinthians starts with a salutation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. I don't know how to say those fancy words. I know. Shock. Allison can't say something. First, let's back up to Paul, an apostle. This is such a fun trivia. I think this is such a fun trivia, but it can also be a little confusing. So when we think of the apostles, we think of the 12 apostles that Jesus himself chose while he was beginning his ministry back in the day. And they picked 12. And then we know that Judas betrayed him. And because there was this such a strong number thing, like in the Jewish faith, and they felt like because they had been picked 12 and the 12 tribes of Israel, that they should go back to having 12, because Judas had taken his own life. So they literally drew straws between Matthias and I think the other man's name was Joseph, and Matthias, I don't know, M-A-T-H-I-A-S, Matthias, that's how I say it. Anyway, he won the straws, and he becomes that now 13th apostle. Then, and only to Paul, did Jesus appear and select him. Here's what it says in the Didache Bible, in the commentary. In the introduction, Paul designates himself as an apostle, meaning one who is sent. Although he was not among the 12 selected by Christ to accompany him during his ministry, Paul was called an apostle by virtue of an extraordinary call from Christ, who appeared to him in a vision. You can find that in Acts 9. Occasionally, he had to defend the identification and status as apostle, and this letter was no exception. And then you also, a little bit further down, we see the word saints. And I love this. First of all, I was never told growing up that we were all meant to be saints. Maybe you heard that before, but I thought saints were like priests and nuns who lived this extraordinary, boring life. And all they did was pray all day and they never made mistakes and they never did anything wrong. So they were saints because they kind of were really close to God and God thought they were really cool and they, you know, never made mistakes. They were perfect. Not so fast. Nobody on this earth is perfect. Our Blessed Mother was conceived without original sin. Therefore, she did not have that stain on her soul that led her to be tempted to sin like the rest of us. But she still needed Jesus's grace to keep her from sin. That's why she's considered full of grace. But the rest of us, we all have this thing called concupiscence, and it means our tendency to sin, our tendency towards sin. And even though our baptism removes original sin, that stays with us. And we really do need Jesus's great grace, God's grace in our hearts to avoid temptation and to avoid sin. However, we are all still called, every single solitary one of us is called to be a saint. And saints are those wonderful people who live in heaven. Some are capital S saint, and we know their name, and they're canonized. And others may be loved ones, and we don't really even know who's there and how vast heaven is. But anybody living in heaven with God is a saint. By the way, purgatory, heaven, and hell aren't actual locations. They're states of being. That's what the Didache Bible tells us. That's what the theologists, I just said that for real. Theologians. Try that again. Theologians. They're not called theologists. I cracked myself up. They tell us that it's a state of being. And so we're all called to the sainthood. And in here, again, in the Didache Bible, it says in the introduction, Paul uses this, you know, with all the saints. And it says here, every member of the church, whether as part of the pilgrim church on earth, and that's called the church militant, the holy souls in purgatory, which is called the church suffering, or the blessed in heaven called the church triumphant. Isn't that cool? I was never taught that either growing up. The church suffering, the church militant, and well, it's the church militant, that's us, the church suffering, that's the souls in purgatory, and then the church triumphant. Those are all who live in heaven and they're saints. But we're all together, it says it's part of the communion of saints and therefore rightly referred to as saint. Each of the faithful is called by virtue of his or her baptism to a life of holiness. And sometimes that life of holiness is easy and things are going well and we feel rejuvenated. We can follow Christ. We're reading his word. We're praying every day. And we're like, yay, I can do this Christian thing. In other days, things are going crappy and bad things are happening. And we're afflicted either in mind, body, or soul. We're struggling and we need a little extra push, a little extra grace. And, you know, Sunday I went to Mass and I was grumpy and I knelt down and I had just been reading about asking God for grace. And I just begged for an outpouring of grace. And I can tell you in that moment, I felt my heart change from grumpy, aggravated, not like just every pore in my body was just filled with yuck. And in that moment, when I asked God to pour out his grace in me, I felt a calm and a peace, and my mood completely changed. My family was grateful. We come back. We have more to talk about right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jigris here on Breadbox Media. If you haven't already downloaded the Breadbox Media app, I invite you over to breadboxmedia.com or to your app store and download it today. And help us to spread the news, spread the app to your friends, to your social media contacts by just tweeting it out, Facebooking it, whatever. Please use hashtag Breadbox Media, hashtag get the app, hashtag get Breadbox. Whatever it takes, help us to spread our message here, which is not really our message. It's God's. And we really want to reach as many people as we can, spread the good news. And we really need your help. So any help you can do in helping us get this app onto more and more phones, we would be grateful. Today, we're talking about 2 Corinthians 1 through 3. And you've seen that how conversation around scripture can really go deep. You know, you think, here I am, just read one small paragraph, and I just focused on 2 words. And I learned so much from those 2 words. You know, that Paul's an apostle, and what that means, and how cool that is, that, you know, the Christ came and called him to be an apostle in a very special way. Like, he was a Gentile, he was a Roman, and he had the Roman citizenship, and he could reach a different audience. You know, the other apostles had the Jewish background, and they were reaching the different types of Jewish audiences. But now Christ has opened up this message to everyone with his call to Paul. No, I did not mean to rhyme. And then we find out that we're all called to be saints, and that there are these great communion of saints, and we have the church militant, you and I here on earth, the church suffering. And sometimes I feel like I'm part of that one as well, but that's the souls in purgatory. And then we have the church triumphant, which we're all hoping and striving for. And of course, that is heaven with Christ forever and ever. So cool. Now we're going to move on to the next paragraph, where Paul's thanksgiving after affliction. And affliction is one of those words that I've always been very drawn to. Affliction, suffering, just all the things that we have to go through, or that we do go through as human beings. And some people seem to be so unfairly afflicted. They just seem to have one situation after the other, either financial or physical or emotional, relational. It just seems like there's always something just amiss and amok in their life. And that stinks. Really does. Affliction is so difficult, you know, and I even struggle the worst, I think, is when somebody is so faithful. Now, I can think of several people in my life growing up who were just super faithful, God-fearing, God-loving people, and they suffered horribly. You know, I had one friend who's, she has this disease that thickens her skin, her insides, I guess, everything. It's scleroderma, I think is the name of it. And she needed a double lung transplant. She waited for years. She finally got that. She started to feel better. And then she gets colon cancer. Like, really? I think she's doing pretty well from that. I haven't heard from her family in a while, but I know she's still with us. And she's just so faithful. Like, I don't understand that. Like, isn't that, sometimes that just shakes me to the core. Like, why follow God and do all this praying and scripture and sacrament stuff if it's not going to help us any? But that's where the lie comes in, because it does help us. Like, I can't, she still stays joyful. She still stays hopeful. And, you know, even though she's afflicted and she's suffering, and of course she's turning to modern medicine to try to make her well, she still has a hope in Christ and heaven, and it doesn't shake her. These afflictions don't shake her. And that's so encouraging. And I'm just in awe of that, because I really struggle. Like, I fear being sick. I fear that ultimate end that's going to come eventually. I can't escape it. And sometimes I can't even think about it. It just gives me anxiety, like awful anxiety thinking about it. But when I spend time in God's word, in church on Sunday, yesterday, like praying for God's grace, there is an incredible peace that comes over my heart. And I do have that encouragement and that hope and that God wants to give me, that he promises to give me. And here we see Paul talking about thanksgiving after his affliction. And nobody had more afflictions than Paul, who's shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He really had a tough going trying to be an apostle for Christ. And as I was reading that, I was thinking about the venerable Bishop, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who talked about, you know, the suffering isn't the problem. The saddest thing is that when we waste that suffering. And I was thinking about my eczema, and I know there's far worse afflictions one can have. And I'm very grateful that this is my cross, because there's so many crosses that are debilitating and require hospitalizations and medications and just can be really, really serious. It disrupts your whole life. And so, yes, this is very uncomfortable. And my hands look like hamburger meat. Sorry. Yeah, you didn't need to hear that. But it's pretty gross. It's embarrassing. I can't touch anything. I'm a germaphobe. And it's making it even harder for me, because it's trusting the Lord. Like, I got to be careful how I pray. I pray to trust God more. And then I get this disease that I have all these open sores, and I have to be so careful because I'm so susceptible now to disease. And I can't use hand sanitizer at all. So it's kind of funny, but it's really teaching me to trust. And then, you know, it's not just my hands. It's just horrendous itchiness in different locations, my neck, my underarms, my legs. Like, it's an affliction and it stinks, but I've been trying really hard, instead of being the woe is me and buying $1,000 worth of more topical medications. And I know that I could go to the doctor and get medication, but all my research shows that that's not where I want to go. It's either steroid, and there's one that was huge warning for cancer. And I thought, I'd rather just be itchy. I'm good. I'm going to just bought a new book to do some the dietary changes, because it's probably, you know what it probably is I have peanut butter every day. I love peanut butter. I have it for breakfast. I usually have it as a snack later on in the day with peanut butter or with peanut butter. I have peanut butter with peanut butter. With banana or apple. And it's probably my peanut butter addiction or my almond milk addiction. And I know that I need to do an elimination diet. I know I need to do this. And I'm trying to look at it again. This is another affliction. My food allergies. I'm sure you have something too that you just are, it's a chronic thing. And instead of being like, oh, this stinks, why me, I hate it, I'm trying really hard in my brain to use it for intercession for others, you know, for the forgiveness, not for the forgiveness of sins, but for the souls who are away from the church, or those who have passed, who were not in a state of grace when they died. I mean, only God can forgive sins, but there is a great blessing that all the saints talk about, or our church fathers all talk about, using our suffering, offering it to God for others. And I'm trying really hard to do that instead of being a cranky pants. So much easier to be a cranky pants, isn't it? Oh, it's so much easier. But it's not helpful at all. It doesn't serve a purpose. And if I've got to be suffering, I want to serve a purpose. And, you know, so the elimination, just to finish up this last thing about the elimination diet, I am not good at sacrificing. In fact, you know, I've been trying to lose weight now for over, 2 years now. And I did pretty good. I'm down about 20, and I was about 4 pounds away from my Weight Watchers goal. And now I'm about 6 pounds away from my Weight Watchers goal. I have a really hard time walking away from second helpings. I love sweets. I love, I can't have butter, but I like buttery type of cookies and cakes. And I found ways, even just eating Chex cereal, vanilla Chex cereal that tastes like a cupcake. Like, I just crave that stuff. And I know that it's not helping me with this goal to be a healthier version of myself. And my dad has heart problems. My mom's a diabetic. I've been walking every day, but, you know, I really need to buckle down and sacrifice. So again, I'm trying to muster up God's graces to sacrifice and to use that, because that's a type of affliction. You know, that's a type of affliction there. You know, that I can't just eat whatever I want and stay a size two. I've never been a size two. I think I was a size two when I was two. I haven't really seen that since. But I love that Paul talks about being thankful for those afflictions and being thankful for God for strengthening him in them. And when we come back, we're going to look at this great lesson from St. Paul, where he talks about whatever you've been comforted in, he says, you will comfort others in. Let me actually read it. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted in. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too. Isn't that beautiful? That's 2 Corinthians 4-5. When we come back, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this morning about 2 Corinthians 1. I had said we're going to talk about 1 through 3 and was sharing how in our Bible study we do 3 chapters, but clearly that's not going to happen today. Also, you can tell that clearly I don't talk a lot during the group. I let the group talk. But this is a really jam-packed, I mean, all of Scripture is jam-packed. Who am I kidding? But this one really spoke to me, and I'm so excited to share it tonight with my Bible study at Holy Family in East Taunton. You are always welcome to join us if you are in the area, and if that's something that you would be interested in, 7 to 8:30 Monday nights, Holy Family Parish Center. There's my little New England. Doesn't show too often, but every once in a while, there it comes with the center. The center. And also at Holy Family, we have a what do you call that thing? Oh, yeah. Adoration Chapel. It's open every day from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it's really a great way. We finish Bible study at 8:30 just to step in there for a good half an hour or so and just say hello to the Lord. Talk about grace giving. We get grace and prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And just sitting there, we don't need to receive the Eucharist like we do in Mass to receive the grace God has to offer from it. We can just sit with him, and it's like a foretaste of heaven, because wherever Christ is, there is heaven. And I know for myself, just stepping in that room is just so peace producing. Peace is a good thing. So we're talking about lack of peace that sometimes comes in our afflictions. And St. Paul tells us here in 2 Corinthians 1:4-5, that the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort for which we ourselves were comforted by God. Yes, St. Paul loves to talk in circles. So basically, whatever you're comforted in, when you receive the consolation of the Holy Spirit in your heart, when you know that God has come to your aid and brought you peace, then you receive such a gift that when you then encounter somebody else who's suffering, you can relate to their situation. Either you're brought to somebody who's suffering in the same way that you have suffered, or just as a suffering soul yourself, you can relate to any kind of suffering so that you may bring the comfort of Christ to them. And that's quite an amazing gift. And he goes on to say, for as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Okay, there is the caveat that I don't do so well with. Patiently endure. Like when I'm sick, I want it gone immediately. Like I live in fear at this time of the year for the stupid stomach bug. Hate it. Petrified of it. There's like nothing worse than throwing up. And it just completely screws up your whole entire day or 2 days or your plans. Like these are the things that I really need to get over. I really need to just trust God in him. Like if I'm sick in home, he's allowed it for a reason and he's going to make good from it. I mean, maybe I just need the rest or it's a jumpstart to my diet or, you know, you never know. I remember driving once when the kids were little, we were heading to my husband's aunt and uncle's house for a little weekend visit. And about 10 minutes on the road, my poor little Adam, who was probably 6 or 7 at the time, threw up everywhere. Well, clearly we couldn't continue to his aunt and uncle's. And he's like, no, I'm fine. I want to go. And the poor thing, I remember him crying hysterically. I can see his little face now. It makes me just all emotional just thinking about it. And he was so sad that he ruined our whole weekend, that, you know, our plans, he was like so looking forward to it. But we don't know. We don't know what God saved us from in that moment. Like I remember thinking, turning around and going home, like maybe, you know, my prayer for a safe trip was the fact that we didn't continue the trip. We didn't finish the trip, or maybe there was a danger that we didn't know of. We have no idea. And I remember just spending that weekend as a family cuddling and together. And I don't remember if the rest of us got it or not, because at first we're thinking, well, maybe this is just car sickness. But then I remember he couldn't stop throwing up once we stopped the car and he had a fever. So time to go home. But we don't know why God allows, like he didn't make my son sick, but he allowed it to bring good in some other way. And that's our afflictions. And looking at it that way, it takes a lot of grace and prayer. But I know in my own experiences, you know, spiritual and emotional afflictions that I've had when I go out and speak. And the retreats, by the way, retreat schedule is up for 2017. You can go to Reconcile to You Facebook page and look it up. I will have it on the reconciledtoyou.com very shortly. And hopefully some links so that you can register. They're all free of charge, free will offering offered then. A continental breakfast is offered for the morning ones. And I hope that you will join us. But when I'm out there talking, I find that people come up and they'll say, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only person who experienced that, you know, and they get much encouraged by how God brought me through it. You know, it's exactly what St. Paul is talking about. Like if you're going through something and you think I'll never see the other side of this and there's no hope for me, then you meet somebody who has been through something similar and they're healed, or they're hopeful, or, you know, that the Lord has done a great thing in their heart. You think, okay, you know what? He can do this for me too. And our job, who's been comforted and brought through it, is to share that and to share that encouragement and that hope with others. And let's see, he goes on here to our hope. I love this. This is 2 Corinthians 1:7. Listen to this. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. And I also thought about how, you know, we share in Christ's sufferings, not even close to what he suffered, but we share in that. We offer, pick up our cross daily, as St. Luke tells us, or St. Matthew tells us, and follow Christ, that when we share in Christ's sufferings, then we'll share in his glory, we'll share in heaven. And, you know, we don't have really a complete clue what happens after this life, but we know we don't get out of here alive. And, you know, it's a little bit of Pascal's wager always in the back of my head. And Pascal's wager is this: you don't know 100% sure what lies beyond this life, or if there is a God or not. It's called faith, and you accept that on faith. Now, you have some choices. You have some options. I can either believe that there's a God and act accordingly, and if there is a God, then I have nothing to lose. Or I could dismiss that there's no God, not act accordingly, and take my chances. Well, I don't want to take my chances because I have nothing to lose by living an upstanding life with God in it, whether he's imaginary or not, though I know he's not, because I know he's not imaginary because he's just made himself too. The God-cidences of my life have been too abundant for this to be my imagination. If you allow yourself to look around you and to really be open for God to show himself to you, it's impossible to not see him as real and true and part of your life. But if you're having a hard time getting to that point, I still think there's much merit, and there's no nothing wrong with living as if there is one, so that when the time comes, and it will come, we don't have to be so fearful of the outcome beyond this life, because, you know, we have nothing to lose but our soul, which is, you know, kind of important. I don't know. I think there's nothing wrong with living a good life and trying to please God and to get to know him, because he has been so faithful to me. If he's a figment of my imagination, so be it. I love my figments. Love my imagination then, because it's encouraging and hopeful and peace-giving and blessed. And even though I do suffer every day with this crazy itch and these ugly hands and this other aches and pains, I don't care, because I know that God is using it to encourage me. He uses it to encourage other people, and in so many different ways that he uses it. And then St. Paul, just to kind of wrap up here a little bit, continues with why we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was not to make us reliant on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from the deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, and that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us in answer to many prayers. He talks there about intercessory prayer. And we can use our suffering as intercessory prayer for others, for people who don't believe, who people who are struggling to not blame God, like my son does for his, you know, his mental illness. Like, he just walked away from God because he thought, well, if this is who God is, and I'm all set, if you're just going to let me suffer and you're not going to help me, then what's the point? But he does help. And even if he doesn't remove that thorn from your side, as St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, he absolutely gives you every grace and blessing you need to live with that affliction. I hope that you will pick up 2 Corinthians yourself and read along. I think we'll pick up with that again on Wednesday. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.